Sunday morning on the 29th of October, I preached at the Gathering Place, Louisiana. And as it was being recorded live via Facebook, when we went to post the original recording of the entire event, for some reason the file was corrupted, and so we weren't able to finish the testimonies at the end of the service so that you could hear what the men, what the women had to say about basically going through a T-1 memory type of rewiring of the brain. And I did that in front of the entire church so that after I taught, so I could demonstrate what God had taught me through scripture and then eventually through science and neuroscience as well as quantum physics that actually lines up with the Bible perfectly. And so when I taught, like I said, it was Facebook Live and it went out on air, and many people are asking for the final portion where the women gave their testimony. And unfortunately, we're just not able to retrieve that. We're still looking to see if anybody else in church has recorded that so that we could actually post it for you guys. But as of right now, we don't have that. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to explain what happened and how I coached these three women to heal, and then what we did, and then what the final results were. So basically, after I got finished preaching the word and talking about how in our mind we have voices that accuse us, and it's not like it's another person, it's basically your memory, and it's your calculation. And in your calculation of life and your life experiences and everything that you've gone through, your mind learns how to calculate whether something is good or something is bad, and it also learns how to find fault, how to blame. And it does it very well. It does it without you thinking about it. It's just a calculator that's always going. What we don't realize most of the time is that we as human beings don't have to be one with that thought. We can have multiple thoughts going through our head. And we even have learned to something we call cast down vain imaginations, or anything that exalted itself above the knowledge of God. So what I did in times past, and I was taught to do, and most of the people that I know who attempt to cast down vain imaginations, we were taught to do it as often as they arise. Like every time you have that bad thought, you know, just cast it down, quote a new scripture over it or something of that sort. However, what I discovered is that I had to live a life of constantly casting down those vain imaginations. And so in this church service, what I was attempting to convey to the body of Christ is that we can actually remove our consciousness from those thoughts and hear those thoughts separate and apart from having them. So it doesn't mean that they're not yours. It just means that they are this calculator that works in the background of your mind all the time. And it's the part of you that accuses you. It not only accuses you, but it accuses other people anytime you are offended, hurt, or when you judge something or deem something to not be holy, not be good, or if you deem something to be evil or bad. So for example, what we did is we brought three women up that asked to be participants. And I explained to them in advance that if you come up front, just be aware that you're live on Facebook and it's going to be very emotional. You're going to be very vulnerable and you're probably going to cry and lose your breath and find it difficult to speak, because intentionally I'm going to bring you into this place of a heightened state of emotion so that we can heal that part of you that will not stop being your accuser. In Luke, it tells us that the unveiling of the sons of God, what happens or the purpose or the reason or what will occur at the unveiling of the sons of God, is that we will destroy the works of the devil. Now, in that context, if you will go look up that word devil, it says accuser. So basically, when we realize who we are and we understand the difference between us and our thoughts, then we can see that the accuser is the actual calculator in your brain that is trying to survive. So it's the part of you that wants to run and hide, or the part of you that would like to stand and fight, which we usually do that through blaming someone. And then after blame, if that doesn't work, then it can escalate to something more. So basically, that's what the women were coming up for. And they all agreed. They all knew they were being videotaped. They all knew they were on Facebook Live, and they knew that it was going to be a vulnerable moment. The good news is that I didn't need to know any of their details. I didn't know how they were abused, if they were. I didn't know need to know their trauma, if they had been traumatized. I didn't need to know anyone who had sinned against them or anything like that. What I'm doing is not psychotherapy. It's not psychology. I don't have a degree. I'm not operating in any type of capacity as a doctor or a therapist of any kind. I'm simply a woman who is an ordained minister who studies the Word of God, who found this truth in Lamentations and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Ephesians and Romans, really just from all over the Bible. And so I'm now demonstrating what God showed me in Scripture. It just so happens that this same information now has scientific evidence in the field of science, quantum science, and medical science. And so oftentimes when I'm speaking, I'll refer not only to Scripture, but then I'll bring to the audience the evidence that's out there in the scientific world to better explain what Jesus spoke of and what the Old Testament teaches us in regard to the heart, brain, your spirit, man, or what we would call the soul. And so I know that people think that the spirit and soul are different, and there is a difference, and you can find out more about that in my book called No Longer Deceived. It's I believe it'll be coming out in the early part of 2018, but as of right now, it's still in the editing stages, so just stay tuned for that, and we'll give you updates as it comes out. But for the sake of time, we're just going to explain what I taught these women when they came up before the body of Christ in the church that day, October the 29th, 2017, so that if you happen to come across that, or if you wanted more information, which has already been requested, which is the purpose of this podcast. So I'm just going to explain to you what we did. So all three women come up. We assigned two people to each woman so that those two people could stand behind them, kind of like a little messenger on your shoulder, just two little birds whispering in your ear, one on each side. And so you've got three women across. The first woman has two people standing behind her. The second one has two women standing behind her. And the third one has a man and a woman standing behind her. And so we specifically requested a man because one of her fears was she was afraid of male authority. And so it's important that we try to have the sound that would trigger the part of her in her brain that calculates that she has to run from male figure authority, because that's what needs to heal. That's a fearful calculation in her brain. All right, so they all have the two people that's going to stand behind them. So the first thing that has to happen is the person who's going to go through the healing process finds two places where they're afraid. And they're afraid. What I ask them is, what is it that you believe could possibly stop you from becoming all that God has created you to be? What are the two most fearful things that stop you from your goals, your achievements, your calling, or your purpose in your destiny in this earth? And so once they find those two things, they share those two things that they're afraid of with the two people behind them. Once they do that, I separate the two people off to the side, and I actually have them to go plan an attack. And what they're going to do is they're going to take the two things that that person is most afraid of, and they're going to plan to whisper things in that person's ear and badger them, accuse them. And we know it's false accusations, and we're not doing this to beat them up. We're doing this because this is already what's in that person's head. So we're going to show the person how you can separate your conscious self from your thoughts, because your thoughts are an automatic calculator. It's inside of you. It's a recording. It's a memory that won't be quiet until it's healed. And healed means no longer afraid. Okay, so the two people from each person step to the side and they devise a plan. And then I went over to each one of them and said, okay, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. And I did that to everyone. And then the people that's going to go through the healing, I have them put their thumb out just to remind them to count. Because when I had this done for me, it was so powerful that when I originally began to follow the exercise, I literally could not speak. And I forgot that I'm supposed to be doing something 10 times. So when I facilitated this, if you watch the video, you'll see me telling the women, I want you to put your thumb up and I want you to count to 10. And every time you count to 10, I want you to say, I am more than that in Him. 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 And they're to do it 10 times at about that rate. Now, I also coach them that not only are they going to count while they're being accused 10 times by saying, I am more than that in him. And of course, we're speaking of they're more than that in Jesus Christ, because Christ is our Savior. We believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father. And so that's what, as Christians, we're establishing our belief is in who we, in whom we have believed, Christ. And in whom we have believed, it is him who sets us free. And to him who has he has set free, we are free indeed. So that's what they're doing. They're establishing, by me teaching them how to say this, in a heightened state of emotion, we're actually going to deposit the belief, I am more than that in him, in a different place in their brain. And it's not going to be in their frontal lobe. It's going to be in that calculator that keeps telling them why they're a failure and how they'll never measure up. And since they don't measure up, they're not loved. So we're going to heal that part of their brain permanently. We're doing it through chemical ligands in the brain, and we're doing it through frequency. And that frequency is a magnetic and an electronic charge, which is the neurological system that your brain uses to communicate to the body. Okay, so we've got three women. We each have two accusers behind them. The accusers are going to accuse based on whatever they deemed that their fears were. And the participant that's going to heal is going to count, or going to speak 10 times, I am more than that in him. Okay. Now, the thing that I coach them that I believe is the most important part is that I want them to expect and completely feel without the need to escape the accompanying emotions that are going to spontaneously occur as they're being accused, because those emotions are actually coded in a chain link molecule in their brain, in their limbic brain, and something called the amygdala, that will actually, when any time that part of their memory is triggered, it will release into the bloodstream cortisol, adrenaline, and an exact chemical makeup that perfectly remembers any time they were accused or felt these type of feelings. It's going to activate that in every part of their subconscious brain, which then is going to activate that in every cell in the body, including into the marrow, which the Word of God says that it cuts, that God's Word cuts all the way into the marrow. So we're going to literally do that. It's not just a hypothetical or a nice way of quoting scripture. It literally is going to happen physiologically. So as they're saying that, the first feeling that I explained to them that they're going to, that's going to accompany this event, is they're going to feel dread. And the dread is so painful that it will actually like suck the life out of you. It'll suck the ability to breathe or speak. So oftentimes when a person is going through this and they, the first time they attempt to say, I am more than that in him, they're not able to. It's just too painful to talk. This happened to me, and with a person that was coaching me, who taught me this in part, is Linda Cormier from GIA Wellness Company, who I'm a member of GIA Wellness. I work in the area of healing, and so not only do I work in the area of the spiritual heart, but I also work in helping the body to be nourished, well, detoxed, and hydrated. And so if you're interested in that, you can get with me on that. But to stay on target, Linda Cormier is the one who I originally experienced this with. And so when she was coaching us through this, I was taking all the knowledge and information that God had given me over the prior 30-something years, and I applied that same knowledge to what Linda was teaching us. And so when the people were whispering in my ears and I began to feel dread, I thought to myself, okay, let this dread completely saturate my body, and let's see where it takes me. Now, at this time, I'm supposed to be saying I'm more than that, but I can't do it. I can't even speak. I'm in so much pain. So as I just keep letting the pain wash over me, it actually feels like it's churning in my stomach like a wave in the depths of the ocean. And as it churned more and more and more, I could feel it rise up into my chest, into my throat, and I began to weep. And that wave just crashed over me. It felt like my heart was being crushed. I couldn't believe the amount of power that was in dread in my body. Because originally when we started this exercise for myself, I couldn't think of anything I was afraid of. I was like, man, I've dealt with all my fears. Like, what are they? Lord, what's my fears? So I began really digging inside, asking God what my fears were. And when they came up, it was really a fear that I would somehow, as I was fulfilling the call in my life that God had placed on me, there was a question in my heart was, what if my husband doesn't want the same call? Or what if my children don't want to be a part of the same call? What will happen then? And so if I pick my heart over theirs, then they become, I become more important. If I pick their heart over mine, then they become more important. And God tells us not to esteem anyone. So what I was learning subconsciously that I wasn't even aware of is that all of our dreams are equally as important. All of our destinies are equally as important. All of our calls that God has put on our life is equally as important. And God is fully aware that we're a family. So the fear inside of me was so deep, I didn't even know it existed until the two accusers behind me began to say things like, you know, what if your husband decides you just on your own? Or what if your husband just don't want to be a part and says, oh, you go do it and just do it by yourself and I'll see you when you get back. Just all kinds of crazy stuff. And then they said even really mean, terrible things that would be extremes of that fear, you know, so like him leaving me or whatever. Well, when that happened and that dread began to churn in my gut, I realized that in the core of me, that belief, that fear actually existed. But if you would have asked me prior, are you afraid of that? I'd been like, no, I'm not afraid of that. Like, I know my husband loves me. We've been together 30-something years. He supports me. And I'd have told you all the wonderful reasons why I didn't believe that that was true. However, in my subconscious, there was a question mark. And that's all it takes to be afraid. Just a question mark. And not being okay with the unknown. So as that dread was rolling through my body, I began to realize that I was angry about the accusation against my husband and against my children. Now, this accusation was coming from my own head, my own calculator that I didn't even realize because I couldn't remove myself from the thought. I had become one with it. I was so one with the thought that I couldn't even see that it was inside of me. And so as I became conscious of my thought, in that consciousness, I actually became separated from the calculation that my body had calculated somewhere throughout my life. And I could view it. And when I viewed that accusation was in my body, and I viewed it as an observer, I was no longer one with that thought. I was now separated. And when I saw that, I got angry. And I could hear the Lord say, be angry. And understand your anger. So then I let my anger flow. And by this time, I went from barely being able to speak and squeaking, I am more than that, I am more than that, to I was angry. And I was like, I am more than that, I'm more than that. And I just got so angry. And I kept saying, I am more than that, I'm more than that. And then eventually, the anger continued to boil or turn in my gut, in my stomach, in my heart, until I got the shift in my amygdala and my calculator brain no longer believed any of that mess. It believed I am more than that. And it also was telling me that God is more than that. Like God wouldn't give me a dream, my husband a dream, my kids a dream, and not intertwine them. He created family for relationship. He knows what he's doing. But my old calculator brain that says hide, run, or fight for your rights was what was ruling and reigning, not the truth. So the next thing that happened after my anger, which I know not to run from, I used to run from anger and think it was bad, and I'd rebuke it and think it was the devil or something. But now I understand anger is for me, and if I don't let the light of it diminish, like it says in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, be angry and sin not. That word sin not means, and don't miss the mark of your anger, understand it. And then right after that, it says, and don't let the light of it diminish. Well, that don't mean don't let the sun go down while you're, before you, you know, don't go to bed angry, which is what I was taught. It literally means don't let the light, the revelation, the glory, the understanding, the reason, the wisdom, and all that's wrapped up in what was happening, don't let the light of that diminish until you see why you're angry. Well, what I saw was I was believing a lie. That's what anger showed me. It showed me that I don't have to be one with those thoughts. I can separate my consciousness from the thought, see the difference, and then go, I don't believe that lie. How dare that lie attack me and my family? So after the anger happened and I was, you know, very vehemently saying, I am more than that, something shifted in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye. Now that word twinkling of an eye means at the jerking of your head. It means to be looking in one direction and something so grab your attention that it takes a 180 degree turn and looks at the opposite direction. And so when that happened, all of a sudden this excitement welled up inside of me. And I began to go, I am more than that. 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 I'm more than that. I am more than that. So the excitement overrode all of the dread. Now, something that is extremely important to understand. If fear can cause something as painful as dread, and fear is the absence of truth, imagine how powerful the presence of truth is, where the gratitude and joy is. It's so powerful that you can't undo it once you've been entangled in it. Once you've been entangled in truth, and I am loved, and I am more than that in Christ, you can't undo it. It's way stronger than fear could ever even think of being, if fear could have thought. Because fear just means the absence of knowing, the absence of hearing the truth. And if you look at the letter F, it is a vav and part of a like a little dalet that's on its side. And so it basically means sight without perception. It means part perception. Because a P and a F is almost the same word. We even use them interchangeably in the English language. And if you've studied my teaching very much, you'll understand that people would say, well, you can't do that with letters. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can. I do it, and I do it all the time, and it works no matter what language I do this in. So when you look at the letter F, after that letter F, it's E-A-R. E-A-R means ear. That's what you hear with. So fear really means when you hear in part and you don't know the full, which is part truth equals a lie. So that's why fear is embracing a lie. That's all it means. So it's an absence of something. It's not a presence. So if the absence of something is so powerful that I was stuck in dread, and now I went from dread to anger to joy because I saw the love of God in this whole situation, and the whole truth came into my being, that the joy overtook me. I didn't choose to be joyful. I didn't choose to stop being angry. I didn't choose to not have dread. I simply let it do what it was designed to do, which is to transform me from death into life. Just like it says in the book of Hosea, I tore you so I could bind you up, and I smote you so that I could heal you. So this is what's happening. If you go back and listen to that teaching, you'll hear more of along those lines from Hosea. So after I went through the dread, I went through the anger, and I reached the point of joy, I could speak freely, and it was completely done. It was over with. So I coached each one of these women and told them the same thing. I said, now you're going to go through this, you're going to go through this, and you're going to go through this. It's important that you let your body be saturated with all of those chemicals because your body is so smart. It can record every trigger that you've ever had, and it knows how to heal it if we go through the process. The problem is we've been trained that anytime a trigger comes, let's rebuke it. Let's cast it down. Let's get rid of that vain imagination. Let's quote a scripture or let's say something positive. And that can give you temporary relief. And it works for many people. And some people are happy with that. I'm okay with that. If that works for you and you just quoting a scripture and you're okay with doing that on a regular basis so that you can manage your emotions and that's something you're happy with, then I say more power to you. I don't want to take that away from you. But if you're tired and you're weary, and you don't like coping, and you don't like managing your emotions, and you would like your emotions to be made whole, nothing missing, nothing broken, to where they just work the way God intended them to, as he promised in Ezekiel 36 and 27 that he would take out your heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh, fill it with his spirit, and then from that perspective or that new condition, God would then lead you by your heart in such a way that you shall walk in his statutes and you shall keep his commandments. By the way, that word shall has nothing to do with you choosing. It's by way of promise, not by way of us deciding. So when I walked these three women through this, and after we got done, we put on some music that was conducive to feeling judged and feeling accused. And then they took a breath and they hugged everybody that was working with them. And then we did it a second time. Now, the second time, we used the very same song, but this time we used it a different tone in the song. The song that we used to orchestrate this is The Sound of Silence by a band called Disturbed. And if you go listen to it, you'll hear it's like real gloomy and heavy and thick and a deep, deep tone that's filled with pain. The second time we played the song, we used the same song, but it was an 11-year-old little girl that had a soft, upbeat, gentle voice. And we were recording, we were actually playing that the second time we went through this exercise, because what's going to happen is the brain's going to remember these two songs. And the brain's going to then code that in the body as a new T-1 memory. But this time, it won't record it with fear. It will record it with, I am loved and I am more than that in him. And so we did it again. Now at the end, when we got done, it was amazing to see the looks on the women's faces. Actually, in the middle of the very first time we did it, it happened. But it was the second time we tried to get them to recreate the dread, try to find the anger, try to find the pain, try to find the trauma, try to find a T-1 trauma. I even coached them. I said, try to make yourself scared. Try to make yourself feel dread. Remember a specific incident and see if you can make yourself feel like you did in that incident, whether it was abuse or something shameful or something that you were afraid of. It didn't matter what it was. The goal was for them to try to recreate that old pain, those old accusations, and buy into them. And it wasn't possible. All of the women were completely smiling with joy and were dumbfounded that they could not recreate any circumstance. I said, make it worse than it was before. Try to make yourself scared. It wasn't possible. Why? Why was that not possible? That we did this little bitty exercise that lasted less than 3 minutes. We could heal a lifetime of trauma that was connected to any of those accusations. And the body is so brilliantly made, so fearfully and wonderfully made by God, that in a twinkling of an eye, these women could heal all at the same time. And the answer to that question is, love trumps everything. Love cannot fail. Love doesn't keep any account of wrong done to it. Love hopes all things. Love trusts all things. Love believes all things. Love is all powerful. And fear is what love took care of. Love did it. Angela didn't. They didn't. The people administering didn't. It was not us that healed them. It was truth plus nothing healed them. Why? Because in truth, love abides. And that's what we facilitated. So if you didn't get a chance to go to my Facebook and see that yet, go to Angela Casada Bertone and follow me. And you can see the different videos that we post when I travel and speak, if we do a Facebook Live. And I'm going to be working to record, if I can get a good, clear recording of that Sunday morning event, so that once you hear this, if you want to go back and listen to it, I'll actually post it. I'll post it as October 29th at the Gathering Place, Albany, Louisiana, and I'll label it something to do with, watch these three women heal or something like that. So thank you guys for tuning into my podcast. My name is Angela Bertone. You can find me at angelabertone.com. You can also follow me on iTunes. If you know somebody who would love to hear the podcast but don't use Podomatic, they can find me on iTunes. There's on my website, you can subscribe so that you can find out when I do. I don't send out a whole lot of emails, but when I do, it goes out in a mass email. Sometimes I write a newsletter and that'll go out. When my new book comes out, No Longer Deceived, I'll put a blast out. But all of my books are on there. You can go and look me up. If you're interested in having me in your hometown and doing a speaking engagement or some seminars or retreats or private sessions, you can reach me on my Facebook or on my website. And that again is www.angelabertone.com. And if you love what I'm doing and you would like to support me, there is a donate button there. I would greatly appreciate any support that you guys give me. Thanks. Bye.